Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. It's time for the Manny Diaz Show, brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF. By O'Reilly Auto Parts, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And by Kendall Toyota, the model year-end sales event is here at Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Call 305-KENDALL today. Good morning, Coach. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday. How are we doing?
We're doing great, Coach, and congratulations, by the way, on the win, and especially the way it happened. All those things we talked about, making big plays, defensively being aggressive, your red zone defense. What was the biggest change, Coach, when you go back and you look at the tapes that you saw when you went back that changed so dramatically in that game?
Well, like you mentioned, obviously defensively, we had a great effort out there. Guys really put it on their backs to get us the win. But overall, as an entire team, I think it was just we were the team that made the plays in the fourth quarter. I mean, obviously we've been in all these sort of toss up tight games, and to have it where obviously our offense had a hard time moving the ball against Virginia, and then all of a sudden they get to the fourth quarter and go right down the field twice and get us 10 points, which is big in a tight game like that, and then defensively to make them, to make it stand up and to keep Virginia out of the end zone and all the trips that they went down there. I mean, I just thought the will of the team to get the victory in front of our fans, I thought the fans were awesome. It was rowdy in there in the fourth, and those were that ultimately proved to be the difference.
Coach, help me out. Defensively, you said last week when we talked, like, hey, I'm going more to the defense. I think it was just kind of a general comment at that point. What exactly did you call plays? Did you make change? What was the biggest thing you did defensively with this group to get involved?
No, but Blake Baker called the plays, and I thought he called a great game on Friday night. The biggest thing was just in practice, and as I've mentioned, there had to be someone who all the players could connect to, and because for whatever reason it had just not happened. Just maybe adding a different layer of accountability to the players on that side of the ball and making them feel that, how they're all dependent on one another for each other's success. And, and look, like, as I mentioned, we were going to play better anyway. I don't think that was who we were against Virginia Tech, but we had to get a sense of urgency that we had to get it going right away because, the standard is the standard at the University of Miami for how we play defense. And everyone knew that there's a lot of guys with pride in that room that had let it down the week before.
Coach, it looked like, I don't know, I mean, you're being nice. It looked a lot more aggressive and more blitzing. It looked a little bit more like old Manny Diaz defense. I'm just saying that from the outside, Coach.
Well, yeah, because when guys, look, it's when guys, it's just amazing how it happens. When guys trust each other and guys go, it's amazing how everybody just plays so much faster. And I agree with you, you know what I mean? But it's always too easy to make it just about a play call. Because play calls that are executed slowly right, don't look very good. But when guys really cut it loose and let it go, then all of a sudden guys are really making things happen. And I thought we were the more physical team. I thought, just the way we played and got after it and punished all their ball carries. Let me tell you something now. That quarterback's a hard guy to tackle. If they had a statue playing quarterback, we'd have sacked him 16 times. that guy's hard to get on the ground. And I'm glad he's a senior. We don't have to deal with him anymore.
Coach, what happened in practice last week? Greg Russo gets a start and had a little bit of a coming out party for himself. We've heard a lot about him in the last couple of years, so, but man, you let the beast kind of loose on Friday night.
Yeah, Greg's been coming and coming. His snap count has been going up more and more. And if anyone watches our front play, we rotate our ends and tackles. So who's out there for the first play usually isn't the biggest deal. But so Greg, yeah, but you're right. I mean, Greg, in terms of his understanding of the structure of the defense and you know, as you know, defensive end now, it's almost like playing outside linebacker because of all the assignments on zone read, for example. So, you know, Greg was becoming more and more comfortable with what was going on in there, and ultimately warranted, you know, to be out there for the first play. And then now that he's out there, you just see his ability grow. And we've been saying this about Greg Rousseau, you know, since he early enrolled his freshman year. And it's a great example of our recruiting efforts and an idea of trusting your evaluation. You know, Greg's a guy at a shopping yacht high school that we thought the world of, and thought he had a chance to be an outstanding player, and it's gotten in the program. You look at the way his our strength program has developed his body, and he's an example of creating an elite player here from Dade County, and really been exciting to watch him progress and develop.
Coach, what can his weight be? I think he's put like 50 pounds on, 40 or 50 pounds since he got to your program. How big can he play and still be effective? Could he be 270, 280?
Yeah, but would that be necessary? You know, for what purpose? Because he has such, you know, the idea of just having, you know, weight for weight's sake, I don't know that would help. He's so long levered. He's got such amazing leverage. So when he bends, you know, this is just... Yeah. You know, I didn't learn much in physics, but I learned a little bit when people with long levers bend, you know, I mean, the force that they can apply on another object is increased. So, you know, you would never want him to lose his natural gift, which is ability to run. I mean, the one time Virginia ran a little naked with a quarterback, and he was shot out of a cannon, and Perkins ended up throwing it away. So, you know, again, defense is all about, you know, speed and quickness first, you know, an explosion and power second. And at Miami, we're never going to worry about what number the guy weighs as long as we can run fast and hit hard.
Hey, let me ask you about your quarterback situation. Nikosi Perry takes – it's kind of weird. He took over, but he's got more experience than any of your quarterbacks. Has a great drive, really did a nice job with things. Does it tease you a little bit to come back with him again this week? Could it happen, or do you stick with Jaren Williams?
Well, it doesn't tease us. It lets us know what we've been saying all along is that we can win games with Nikosi. I mean, Nikosi just beat a 20th ranked team, you know, in the country, and the week before led a 20-point comeback, and last year he led a comeback against Florida State from down 20. I mean, Nikosi, he's done some things now on his resume that are impressive. So it's what I've been saying all along. You know, Jaren Williams is our starter, but it's still up to Jaren to come back from the issues he's been dealing with, and also to come back with the adversity of what he faced in the Virginia Tech game, and to prove to everybody that he's ready to go. And if for whatever reason he's not, we've got all the faith in the world in Nikosi to get it done.
So if Jaren is healthy, Jaren will be the starter coming up this week.
If he's healthy and if he's ready, again, it's two parts to it. It's healthy and he's ready to bounce back. In essence, from, you know, look, when you're the quarterback, everybody's watching everything you do. And you know, it's that idea of getting back in there and getting back on the horse and saying, hey, let's ride. And you know, I think once he's ready for that, then we'll be ready to go.
Coach, you got to tell us about this kicking story. I've seen kickers to see if they're healthy or not in warm-ups, but you actually let them kind of compete there in warm-ups between Bubba Baxa and Turner Davidson, who ends up doing a field goal kick, and Bubba did the kickoffs. I'm just curious, did they know ahead of time that they were going to be in a little open competition, kickoff competition before the game?
We've been competing in everything we've done all fall, in essence, in terms of who's going to be our kicker. You know, we chart every kick that they make in practice, every kick that they miss in practice, where it's made and where it's missed from. So they all know that everything counts and everything matters. And when we got to the stadium Friday night, it just so happened that the warm-up was so one-sided, and Turner was just so much better that we just felt like we had no choice but to go his route. And we explained that to Bubba, and that's not a, you know, again, the competition continues, you know, going forward. It was very important for Bubba to do a great job with kickoffs because, as we all saw, you know, Reed is such an amazing kick returner. The team was very excited to see Turner get his chance. You know, the team always wants the competition, you know, reigns supreme. That's what the team wants. They want to see guys at every position competing, and they want to see the best man have a chance to get out there and make plays on game day.
Coach, I'm not even going to lie to you. I saw a picture of Turner Davidson after the game, and I thought it could have been like your nephew out there in a jersey and not one of the players on the team or a walk-on. I could not believe it that this guy was out there. And it was an even better story. Now, I know you got pressed last week during the press conferences by a couple of the reporters about your number two kicker and what was going on with him. What was the storyline with, I guess, since Turner's your number three guy or the walk-on, what was the story with the number two kicker on the depth chart?
Yeah, Camden Price has been unavailable for us for the last couple of weeks. We'll get him back this weekend, so we'll really have a three-man competition during the course of the week to see who trots out there on Saturday.
What a cool story, though. Right. I mean, the Turner Davidson, it's a cool story. Makes his field goal, hits a couple extra points, and he just seemed like, what did he say when you said, "Hey, Turner, you're ready to go? You're going to be kicking field goals and extra points against one of the best teams in the ACC." How'd that go?
He was excited. I talked actually at the hotel that day, before the warm-up, at the hotel that day. I said, "Hey, listen, be mentally ready to go in there and make a kick tonight." And he's like, "I'm ready, coach," you know. And he's got a great temperament, great demeanor about him. And that's fun. You know, he's got, you know, we had some fun with Turner in the locker room after the game. And the players, like I said, they were really excited. And look, these ACC games, man, everything matters, right? I mean, these games all seem to come down to the end. And right. So there's a game that, you know, every point that's on offer, you got to have. So to be able to make those kicks, you know, in a game where, you know, that comes down to such slim margins, you know, there's such little margin for error. So it was huge to our efforts.
Coach, were you worried? I was a little worried. I'm not going to lie to you. Before the game, I was like, damn, they've lost all these close games. They don't know how to win. They don't make big plays when they need to late. And I said, this is going to be another one of those games. Does that cross your mind as a coach? Like, how do I get guys to make plays and find a way to win late in games the way you did finally against Virginia?
Well, I think you have trust in your guys. And I think you also know that that's a process that you just have to learn how to do it. I mean, I did have the thought when it was 7-6. I thought the other way around. I'm a more generally optimistic person that this would be the game where this team is going to figure out how to, you know, how to make it happen in the fourth quarter and how to make the plays. And what was so cool about it is you just look at all the varying, you know, guys that step up and make a play in that situation, whether that's, you know, Mark Pope with a great catch and run, you know, on the sideline for a 30-yard gain, you know, DJ Dallas run down to the goal line, and then Nikosi, you know, Nikosi on the play, you know, to score the touchdown, ultimately, you know, just the determination to not be denied, you know what I mean, and to stick the ball there in the end zone to get the touchdown, you know, and then whether it's Trajan Bandy on a big sack on the last drive, you know, right. Just that's what it takes, man. Just takes different guys making plays, and then the confidence of the team will grow from that. And that's just, you know, look, that's been a little bit of the story of this team. Everyone knows how close we are to having a much, much better record, but that, in essence, came down to in all three games, some fourth quarter. You know, same thing like we talked about, shooting the ball and watching it go in and out, you know. And so to be able to watch the ball go through the net is a big deal to our confidence.
Coach, the Amari Carter, the penalty after he got, you know, the targeting call and he was in the end zone. Like, what happened? Like, I'm sure he explained it to you, and I know you talked a little bit about it post-game, but what happened there with the miscommunication where he thought like he was going to be thrown out or wasn't? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I thought that was a little unfair on Amari. You know, I don't know if you've been down there, Joe. It's really hard to hear anything acoustically down on the field at Hard Rock. And so Amari was waiting for someone to take him off the field. He's not sitting there trying to play the next play, but he can't hear what's going on. And he's waiting for the official. And actually, if you watch the replay, the official is telling him that he's got to go. He's waiting for someone to tell him that he's got to go. So he's just standing there. I thought that was a little bit harsh. He kind of like a double foul, a little, you know, embarrassing for a guy that to be honest is just doing what we asked him to do. I thought Amari plays the game the right way, plays it physical, you know, he plays like a Miami Hurricane safety should play. So, you know, could we have managed that a little bit different? I mean, from our standpoint, obviously we got to get a guy out there and get him off the field. But I also thought that's one of those that they could have just blown a whistle and say, "Hey, young man, I'm sorry, but you know, you got to go." And just because there was simply a miscommunication thing. There was no intent to try to create an advantage, which ultimately is what penalty should be for.
Coach, it looked like, did you feel you guys played a cleaner game mentally on defense as well? Like less mistakes, being aggressive?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that we did. And again, I had mentioned, well, look, I mean, compared to the week before, that wasn't too much of a mask. I mean, right. But of course, we were so not clean the week before. But that was the attention to detail that had been missing, you know. And just again, that's where just ramping up that accountability. Which and I have to also make mention, our leaders did a better job. You know, you're going to go as far as your older guys go. You're going to play. Your team is going to play as well as your best players play. And I thought our best players stepped up and played much better Friday than they had the Saturday before.
Coach, what a weird start to the season schedule-wise. Now you end a five-game homestand this week coming up against Georgia Tech. Five in a row at home after the weirdest start with bye weeks and early starts and everything. But you got one last one at home here on this homestand against Georgia Tech this weekend.
It is. You know, and it's been a peculiar year, to say the least. But you know what? Again, the one constant has been this is a team that has fought for each other. If you look at the energy on the sideline, if you look at the way that the guys stay after it, it's a team that doesn't flinch. And like I said, I thought the demeanor between the team and the fans in the fourth quarter was unbelievable. And to be able to see those guys finally get the reward of the victory was amazing. And then we got another opportunity to do it on Saturday, you know, and everyone knows there's some spots where we're young and it just is what it is. But you know, you come watch a game, you're coming to watch a team that's going to fight. You're going to come watch a team that plays with a lot of pride to be a Miami Hurricane. And that's something they've established through the first six games. And now, as we've been mentioning all along, as the execution starts to improve and we start to get better in that regard, this team's got a chance to I think, be what we thought, you know, all along it could be, you know. And offensively, you know, there's a couple of shots that we missed in that game in the first quarter, in the first half, that really could have created some major separation on the scoreboard and really gotten Virginia into a major throwing comeback mode game. And we know those things are there. But like I said, the execution can be fine-tuned. As long as the effort and the fight, if that travels every week, we know we'll have a chance to be tough to beat every weekend.
All right, Miami, Georgia Tech on Saturday. Coach, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Coach.
As always.
All right, guys, have a great day.
All right, it's the Manny Diaz Show brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And by Lexus of Kendall, the model year end sales event is here. Exceptional prices on all the new Lexus UX, RX, NX, and IS, all at LexusofKendall.com and Lexus of West Kendall.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.